Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Tye, and in for Greg Metzig, it's Adam Roberts.
All right, Adam, are you ready for the holidays? Is everything done?
Yes, did a crash course in present wrapping last night, and
Crash course? You needed some help?
No, I say crash course. I don't know why I used that term. I meant to say I just was working quickly. Oh. I got a lot because my wife was the one who worked later than me, which is not usually the case, but that was the case last night. So got all of her presents taken care of. She did call me because apparently she had gone out to do a little late shopping herself and was like, don't be by the door when I come in.
Oh.
So I had to hide out in the living room, but that's exciting. I don't know what I'm going to get.
Or if you are by the door, don't look, close your eyes.
Have
you
ever done that? Yeah, but then I'm the person who will close my eyes and turn around and immediately bump into something. So.
Oh, man. Well, we hope so far your holiday, your Christmas Eve, is off to a smooth start. We have another big 2 hours ahead.
And now it's time for three big things on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, the fourth largest jackpot in U.S. history. It is up for grabs tonight. $1.7 billion. That'd be a pretty nice Christmas gift, right? People are rushing out right now to grab last-minute tickets for tonight's massive Powerball drawing. But those odds of winning, well, we asked an expert.
Your odds of winning the big Powerball jackpot, 1 in 292 million, but people still play.
Once the lottery tops $1 billion, people come out of the woodwork to start buying those tickets.
Math professor Tim Chartier with Davidson College. So could we improve the odds by buying more tickets, like 100?
Buying 100 tickets is like having just 100 guesses to guess that 1 second in a 9-year span. So it's still not terribly likely.
But even the math professor admits in the end, it's not about the odds. It's about the dream. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Ah, yes.
All about the dream.
Even winning a little something would be nice. At least cover what you paid for the tickets. One lucky Powerball player, by the way, in Brown Deer, won $1 million in Monday's drawing. $1 million. That ticket matched 5 numbers, but not the Powerball. Imagine looking at your ticket, having it in your hand. The balls are coming out. You're matching all the numbers. You have all the numbers matched. And you're like, woo! And then you're thinking, maybe you got the big kahuna, right? Did not get the big kahuna, but still, the excitement must have been so extreme.
Oh, no, I won $1 million. Oh, the agony.
That is awesome. By the way, if you are that Powerball player who bought the ticket in Brown Deer and won $1 million and you want to tell your story, reach out. Let us know.
855-616-1620. Number two, more friction forming between the United States and Denmark. You may recall this story from earlier this year. It involves the latter's territory of Greenland. President Donald Trump drawing backlash once again after he yesterday named Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry an envoy to the world's largest island. Also, scrutiny being drawn amid renewed calls for the U.S. to acquire Greenland as what the president has called a matter of national security.
We need Greenland for national security, not for minerals. We have so many sites for minerals and oil and everything. We have more oil than any other country in the world. We need Greenland for national security.
In a joint statement from Greenland and Denmark's prime ministers, they emphasize Greenland firmly belongs to the people of Greenland, the island extensively self-governing since the late 70s. Trump repeatedly expressing interest in the island has even considered buying the autonomous territory of Denmark, population of around 57,000 people. And if you're wondering what the people of Greenland, well, what did they have to say about it? Well, while most favor eventual just straight up independence from Denmark, opinion polls have all showed an overwhelming opposition to becoming a part of the United States.
Number three, the Trump administration has a new warning for people who are not repaying their student loans. ABC's Selena Wang.
This could impact millions of student loan borrowers who are in default. So starting in January, some of them can see their wages garnished. That means payments taken directly out of their paychecks. But the Education Department says this won't start until they've received sufficient notice and opportunity to pay back those loans. So some warning out there is to do that quickly and to do that fast.
The Education Department expects the first notices to be sent to about 1,000 defaulters the week of January 7th. Reps say the notices will then increase in scale on a month-to-month basis. Got to win tonight's Powerball if you still have student loans.
And boy, do I. So
there you go.
Maybe that's my reason to go buy.
That's the way to do it.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
It's time for our weekly wellness check with Dr. Ben Weston, Chief Health Policy Advisor for Milwaukee County and Associate Professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Santa's coming, so we're sliding you earlier in the week, Dr. Weston.
Perfect.
Okay.
Happy to be here.
So many say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Or is it? Well, many of us enjoy celebrating the holidays. Others may be experiencing what's often called the holiday blues or holiday depression. What is holiday depression and what typically causes it?
Yeah, so holiday depression is actually more common than you might think. In fact, 89% of U.S. adults report that during the holidays they're having either financial concerns, they're missing loved ones, or they're anticipating some sort of family conflict at the upcoming gathering. And this can certainly add stress. Now, holiday depression in particular is described as feeling kind of like an outsider looking in. And unlike certain conditions, think of like seasonal affective disorder or SAD, which affects millions of people in the late fall and kind of through the season, holiday depression tends to be fairly short term. It kind of comes and goes with each event, but certainly for some people, it lingers for days or even weeks leading up to the holiday season. And it might take the form of loneliness if you're far from loved ones or memories of past trauma. Maybe there was a traumatic event or the loss of a loved one during the holidays. And then certainly the kind of anxiety or cultural differences of all the gatherings that occur.
What are some signs or symptoms that you might be experiencing the holiday blues?
Yes, they tend to be similar to what we have in general depression, but of course they're usually more tied to the holiday season. So it could be sadness, hopelessness, difficulty sleeping or concentrating, unmotivated or lacking interest in activities you typically enjoy, or feelings of anxiety, irritability, and nervousness. Now, sometimes in some folks it can get extreme, just like regular depression, include thoughts of self-harm. But we can reach out and help friends and loved ones who may need a little extra support by checking in and being mindful of what people might need this time of year.
So how do you stay ahead of or cope with the holiday blues?
Yeah, I mean, it's really about doing things that keep your body and mind healthy, especially if it's kind of a mild depression that you're feeling around the holidays. So it's important to practice self-care, prioritize sleep, you know, go outside, even when it's cold outside, try to get out there, stay physically active, and stay connected to people who bring you joy. And also limiting social media use. If you're already feeling kind of depressed, usually looking at social media and seeing all the fun everybody else is posting that they're having doesn't really help. Now also resetting your expectations. Instead of imagining this perfect holiday, think of things that are going to make you happy, even if they're small things, but things that are meaningful. And then, of course, if you feel the need, reaching out to mental health resources. Here in Milwaukee County, you can visit healthymke.com. Of course, there's additional resources via 211. And if you feel like you're in crisis, 24/7, you can call or text 988.
Isn't it more fun, too, when the holiday is not perfect? Because you have that great story of, like, the one time Uncle Bob burned the turkey. It's just more fun.
That's right. It's like a wedding. It's the little things that go wrong. Those are the things that you remember, right?
All right. So we've got holiday blues. That's one thing. We also have the Christmas coronary effect. The risk of having a heart attack or stroke rises during the holidays, and that is nothing to mess around with. What's behind this holiday heart risk? Why do heart attacks seem to increase during the holidays?
Yeah, so certainly the risk factors that put people in danger of a heart attack or a stroke, these are present year-round. But the holidays can really be a tipping point when several of these factors kind of converge. In fact, studies have shown that more cardiac deaths can occur on December 25th than any other day of the year. And it's followed by December 26th and then January 1st. So we're in a higher risk time of year, to be sure. Now, there are things that contribute. Certainly, infections like flu and COVID are knocking your body down, and those are much more prevalent this time of year. We're actually seeing a lot of flu right now. But we're also dealing with things like disrupted routines, rich foods, alcohol, just that added stress of the holidays. And these can all put added strain on the heart. It raises your blood pressure, and it forces your heart to work harder.
What are some key warning signs of a heart attack or stroke?
Yeah, so actually a lot of heart attack signs could be mistaken for indigestion or overeating. So you want to be cautious when you have these sort of things. Now, the classic sudden onset, heavy pressure in the middle of your chest, unexpected shortness of breath. But some people have more subtle signs. It could be jaw pain, neck pain, you know, your upper stomach or your upper back, sometimes sweating and nausea. There's lots of different things that can be mimics of other things, but actually be cardiac type pain. Now, stroke symptoms are very different. These would be troubles with balance, weakness in parts of your body, like drooping on one side of your face, one-sided arm or leg weakness, or sudden speech or vision difficulty. Anything like that, you want to call 911 right away and get help.
Reducing the risk is key. How do people go about reducing the risk of a heart attack or stroke this holiday season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first step is just being aware that this is a peak time. And as always, you should be watching out for those signs and symptoms, especially if you're someone at higher risk. And then to protect yourself, protect your loved ones during the holiday, just simple things, watching your diet, limiting your alcohol intake, and trying to lower your stress as best we can. We'll talk about that shortly. It's not always easy. You don't have to cut everything out, but moderation is key.
We're talking with Dr. Ben Weston for a weekly wellness check. Dr. Weston, some people like to use the holiday break to rest. Easier said than done, I know, in some cases. But for those people who do get a chance to rest, how much rest is too much?
Yeah, so when it comes to rest, one of the ways to kind of think about it is trying to get restorative rest. And so these are activities that recharge us physically, mentally, emotionally. They actually energize and refresh us more than just kind of laying on the couch watching TV. And these are things like connecting with others, engaging in creative hobbies that do more than just laying around.
What kinds of activities should we be doing if we really want to rest and recharge?
Yes, there's a lot of activities that have been shown to kind of quiet the areas of the brain associated with sadness or anxiety or those ruminating thoughts that can happen around holidays. So some examples, walking outside, seeing nature can reduce areas of the brain associated with sadness, activity in areas of the brain associated with sadness and anxiety. Also creative activities, playing an instrument, making artwork. These significantly lower cortisol, that's the stress hormone, and can leave us feeling more relaxed. Some other activities to think about: meditation, painting, knitting, cycling, even photography. It's really anything that allows us to be present, to be engaged. These mindful activities, they actually give your mind a break from everything else that's running through it and help you feel restored, not just relaxed.
There are some people, however, who find it very difficult to rest and unwind. Any advice for those people?
This is true. This might sound familiar to many of us. It's common for people to not be able to experience that restorative rest. But then there's a term for this: leisure guilt. You may feel like you fall into this. So we feel distressed or, you know, uncomfortable taking time to relax. We feel like there's always something to be doing and we should be doing it, whether it's around the house or at work or whatever it is. Now, one way to overcome this is to shift your perspective and kind of redefine what productive means, because true productivity includes rest, because it's improving your focus. It improves your creativity and certainly your emotional resilience. So try to balance what you normally would see as productivity with that restorative rest as well.
I like it. Always good advice. That's Dr. Ben Weston with our weekly wellness check. Thank you so much, Dr. Weston, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Have a great holiday.
Guess what time it is, everybody? It's time to track Santa.
Yes, indeed.
Looks like he is headed for Finland right now. In 15 seconds, he is going to be on the rooftops in Finland to go down those chimneys and deliver those gifts.
If you're wondering, well, how do they know where he is? Well, we have the NORAD Santa tracker. NORAD, not just a follower of intercontinental ballistic missiles. They also, once a year, keep an eye on Santa's whereabouts, because you got to know when he's going to be getting to our neck of the woods so everyone can get to sleep, because he doesn't show up if you're spying from the living room.
Yeah, I didn't make that up. I wasn't like, oh, Santa is in Finland. NORAD has been doing this, tracking Santa for 70 years.
Mm.
And NORAD also says his path is unpredictable. He doesn't take the same path every year.
Yeah, I just saw him go over St. Petersburg, Russia, and then made a hard right to go back over to Estonia.
Whoa, a hard right. Make sure all those presents stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in that sleigh, in those bags. All right, we will be tracking Santa throughout the show here, but just wanted to give you a quick update for the kiddos. It's 128 coming up next, local news and national headlines.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Well, no snow will be falling in Wisconsin for Christmas. But you know where snow is falling right now?
Where's that?
As we bring in Lauren Larson, meteorologist over at TMJ4. Lauren, we've been tracking Santa.
Yeah.
And Santa just dropped off the presents for the kiddos in Romania. And I checked out the weather there because I knew you weren't going to be tracking the weather around the world. So I couldn't ask you that question. In Romania right now, 34 degrees. So not too much different. A little cooler than us. But light snow. They have a little bit of snow where Santa just dropped off the gifts.
Oh, fun. That makes it feel so magical.
It does. And what do we have left here? I think there's a little bit of snert in some spots, but man, we melted a lot off.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just feels like it's been melting since Sunday, I would say. Our temperature's about 40 degrees right now. Not great for the snow. Lots of grass out there and not necessarily feeling like Christmas Eve. But that's okay. That means that travel is pretty nice. We're seeing cloudy skies and mild temperatures today. As we go overnight tonight, there could be a little bit of rain, mainly south of Milwaukee, so more so along the Illinois border. But that's really just a little bit of rain. Most of the roads are heavily treated by now, so I don't think that that's going to freeze over. Temperatures expected really to stay above freezing tonight.
It's interesting, Lauren. I'm taking a look at right now the USDA Forest Service snow depth map. And yeah, our part of Wisconsin is all gray. Everything's gone. As Jessica mentioned, it's basically snert or dead grass. But that's not to say Wisconsin, the state, is devoid of snow completely. If you head up north, if your travel plans are to take you to, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, the Wausau-Eau Claire area north of Highway 29, there's at least some snow around still.
Yeah, I would say they haven't gotten as warm as we have been the last couple of days, and they had a few little clipper systems over the past week or so that brought them a light dusting. Absolutely, if you're headed north at all, it should be snowier than it is here in the city.
So we do not have too much to worry about, but as we look at the forecast, I think everybody, you know, we've been talking so much about the forecast for Christmas, and then if we focus on after Christmas, it looks like there's kind of a chance of some showers. You might have people who are saying, okay, that sweater doesn't fit me, or I love this, but that is not my color. I need a different color. Maybe running out to the malls to make some returns, doing some other things as they enjoy the day off on Friday. The chance of rain in the morning, is that low, or?
It's pretty likely that we do see some rain Friday morning. I don't think it should be too impactful as far as those plans. I think it'll clear out well before noon. So if you are worried about the roads, maybe Friday afternoon is a little bit better. Saturday looks to be fine too. And then another chance for rain on Sunday. So no snow in the forecast, but at least those temperatures are pretty warm. We're sitting above normal, 40s for, or upper 30s for Christmas Day, and then low 40s for Friday and Saturday and into Sunday.
I did see the word mix, though, in your forecast for Sunday. Slight chance of a mix. But does that mean we could get a little bit messy? Maybe, possibly? Just kind of like, you know, a slight chance, like you have a slight chance of winning the Powerball jackpot tonight? Very slight?
I think the chance of seeing mix is better than the chance of winning the Powerball tonight.
I think you're right.
Right now, it looks like we're going to hit our high temperature on Sunday, probably around 9 a.m. And then our temperatures get a little bit colder later into the day. So then we have the potential to see that mix. It depends really how fast that rain clears out. If it does kind of hang around a little bit longer, you know, doing the Midwest goodbye, then we might see some mix in with that.
I felt that in my soul as you said Midwest goodbye. I think we've all have dealt at one point in our lives with it. Hey, Lauren, real quick, looking in the way ahead machine, a week from today is New Year's Eve, and another one of those days where people are going to be out and about, whether you're going out to a bar, whether you're going to a party, or if you're just staying at home, still interested. Do we have any outlook yet, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, as we look a week out, that would be next Wednesday, still pretty mild, you know, upper 20s, low 30s. So normal for this time of year. But then the first couple of days of the new year right now look to be pretty cold. So we may have another cold snap with those highs in the teens as we get into the first, second, third, and fourth of 2026.
Okay, Lauren.
I had to think about it.
Yeah, right. I know it gets. It's all of a sudden you have to remind yourself to say 2026, or if you're one of those people who's writing a check. I don't know the last time you wrote a check, Lauren, but if you know to actually write 2026, it takes a while to get used to that.
Yeah,
I only write a check for the property tax bill.
I write a little like my notebook, my forecast notebook in front of me. I do put, you know, 12, 24, 2025 on it. So there will be a few scribbled 2025s out.
Yeah, that's me too. It's dating. It's always with the dating. And it takes me a while too. I'm always shocked when I'm in February and still finding myself going, wait a minute. Nope. That was last year.
Okay, real quick before we let you go, Lauren, are you playing the Powerball?
No, I don't think so. I never have. When it gets big, somebody here organizes like an office pool.
Sure.
And sometimes I throw a couple bucks in, but I hasn't been on my radar here today.
It is $1.7 billion. So we're just letting you know, just in case.
You've got time
you
to change
get on
your mind.
In that office pool and they haven't gone out and bought the tickets yet.
Yeah, wow.
$1.7 billion. All right. Thank you so much, Lauren Larson. We appreciate it. Meteorologist over at TMJ4. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yes, Merry Christmas, guys. Thanks for calling.
Oh, I love this song.
Vince Guaraldi, timeless book definition.
Peanuts. My husband, who's in his 40s, still loves watching all the holiday specials.
Well, then I would recommend for your husband and anyone else who likes Vince Guaraldi music around this time of year to listen to WTMJ's Year in Review coming up after Wisconsin's Midday News, because I do like to use some of the Peanuts music as bump-in music. So something to look forward to.
Good stuff. Just makes you feel like it's the holidays, and indeed it is right now. Thanks for joining us on Christmas Eve, everybody. During the show today, we've been taking a minute at a time to look back at the year. Different categories, no order, just the moments that mattered. And I put the categories into a grab bag.
Adam, quite literally.
Yeah. Adam pulled out the first one during our first hour of the show, and I can't believe you. The first one he pulled out, he pulled out deaths.
Okay, well,
I was being honest.
I didn't look in. I don't want to cheat. That's
but
not
here's
fun.
The thing. So we've gone past that one. Here's the bag.
All right, thank you. Yes.
Here we go.
Shout out
another one.
All right, here we go. Again, for everyone watching, not looking in the bag. This is completely random, pulling out a topic. And, all right, better, not deaths. Sports. We like sports and we don't care who knows.
Sports. Well, we were really hoping the Milwaukee Brewers would make it to the World Series this year and take the title. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Had it happened, the Brewers would have made the sports Year in Review. Maybe next year.
Pro sports and illegal gambling.
We're talking about tens of millions of dollars in fraud.
An NBA head coach, a current and former player were arrested, and allegations shook baseball.
Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz rigged pitches.
Baseball ruled the disgraced Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose are eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Obviously, a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game.
The World Series went to extra innings in Game 7.
The Dodgers stand tall and win back-to-back titles.
The Eagles flew past the Chiefs in Super Bowl 59.
The Vince Lombardi Trophy is headed to Philadelphia.
On the ice, Florida made it 2 Stanley Cups in a row.
The Panthers begin to celebrate.
In Oklahoma City, they celebrated a title.
The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm.
Outrage in Dallas over the trade of superstar Luka Doncic to the LA Lakers.
It's unforgivable to trade a player of his caliber.
Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Ooh, real quick, breaking news, by the way, Santa, he was last spotted in Athens, Greece.
Ooh.
Actually, right before that, just 2 seconds ago, I saw he was in Santorini, so he's flying over all of those beautiful white buildings with the blue tops. Mm-hmm. He's headed for Turkey next, so we are tracking Santa with NORAD.
Ooh, yes.
You know what? We have a little bit of time. Last time, during the last hour, we only had time for one of these, but we've got 9 different categories. How about that? Why don't you grab into that grab bag one more time.
Will do, Jessica. All right. Topic number 3. This is a pretty generic one. I'm going to leave you to this, how we'll handle it. World. The world.
All right. Let's take you around the world in 1 minute. Here are the biggest stories of 2025 across the globe.
Thousands attend the funeral of Pope Francis, dead at 88. And then
Habemus Papam.
We have a Pope, Leo XIV, the first American Pope, continuing his predecessor's focus on the poor. A mass shooting at a Hanukkah festival on Australia's Bondi Beach kills more than a dozen people, injures dozens more, and leaves many Australian Jews fearing their government failed to keep them safe. In Britain, taping before a live BBC audience, interrupted by this.
Prince Andrew will no longer be Prince Andrew.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor losing his last royal titles and his Windsor mansion over his links to Jeffrey Epstein. In Paris, crown jewels worth $100 million stolen from the Louvre Museum. Prosecutors say there's still no sign of the jewels. And in Basel, Switzerland, Austria won Eurovision 2025, but several nations boycotting Eurovision 2026 over Israel's inclusion. Vicky Barker, CBS News.
All right, I have the bag. I'm going to shake it up some more because we've now done three of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
I took the bag back. I'm shaking it up. Shake it up. Two hands, left hand, right hand.
Shimmy shake,
should I
shimmy
be like
shake.
The Globetrotters and woo! All right, there you go.
It's hard to do those whistle high notes. All right, so yeah, thoroughly shooketh. Let's reach on in.
Shake it up.
All right. Well, we do have a pretty tough one we have to navigate, but it was an important story of 2025. That is political violence.
Oh, yeah. The fact that political violence is one of the categories this year is a sad state, but it's reality. Here's a review of the attacks in 2025.
Political violence intensified in 2025, part of a worrisome trend that University of Chicago scholar Robert Pape has dubbed
the era of violent populism in America.
A Pew survey found 85% of Americans believe political violence is rising. Another finding, partisans were certain the other political party was more dangerous and violence-prone than theirs. There were numerous harrowing examples, the assassination of one Minnesota lawmaker and her spouse, and the shooting of another Minnesota lawmaker and his spouse. The assassination on a Utah college campus of conservative grassroots activist Charlie Kirk. A late-night arson attack on the governor's mansion in Pennsylvania, where Democrat Josh Shapiro, his wife, and children were sleeping. After the Kirk assassination, Utah's Republican Governor Spencer Cox had this warning.
I don't think it's hyperbole to say that the future of our country is at stake.
Governor Shapiro, a victim himself, said the country is at a tipping point.
We need the rhetoric of vengeance to end.
Major Garrett, CBS News, Washington.
Okay, I'm throwing the flag down because I was going to have that one be our last one for this hour, but I cannot end this hour on political violence. So shake it up. Take your pick, Adam. Let's give him one more.
Let's give him one more and
one minute for the year in review.
Yes. All right. Back into it. Ooh, this one should have some local angles. I know we'll talk a lot of national, but weather.
Weather
definitely had an impact here.
Mother Nature made a big impact in 2025, including right here in southeastern Wisconsin. Historic rains hit in August, bringing damaging floods to homes, businesses, even the state fair. That was our big weather story. These were the top weather stories of 2025 across the country.
The year began with Arctic cold in many places, including Washington, D.C., where Inauguration Day festivities were moved indoors, disappointing many.
We found out that it was being moved indoors, so I was looking forward to going.
Dozens of lives were lost and thousands of homes and businesses were destroyed by massive wildfires in Southern California in late January.
I just wanted to see if anything's left.
43 people died in a record-setting tornado outbreak in March across the Midwest and eastern U.S.
I called my husband crying and told him that a tornado just come through.
There were 13 named storms during this year's Atlantic hurricane season, including Chantal, that dumped flooding rain across the East Coast.
Even if I move back here, I have nothing left.
There was epic 4th of July flooding in the hill country of Central Texas. At least 135 died, including dozens at a girls' summer camp.
It's just terrifying.
Farmers in several parts of the country dealt with record dry conditions.
The drought is like nothing I've ever seen, for sure.
And once again this year, much of the nation saw hotter than normal temperatures. Jim Priscilla, CBS News.
If you think about our big weather story with the historic rain and the flooding mm-hmm. in August, there are some people in our area still dealing with the aftermath of that.
Yeah, we just had a story, I think, the other day on Wisconsin's Afternoon News about that right here in Milwaukee, which, in case you forgot, 14 and a half inches of rain, which is a new all-time record for a 24-hour window.
I will never forget seeing people on the roads right outside of American Family Field, mm-hmm. just on the flooded roads, people on top of their cars, and then so many cars, so many drivers that went through. I was like, what are you doing? I know it was dark, though, and I know in some cases it can be hard to see flooded roads when it's dark, but that was just a scene I never thought I would see.
Still played a game, too, and Brewers won, by the way, over the Mets that day.